The Bible reading is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 20. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase, and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you, in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Amen.
So, we're adapting to get from here to there. This whole passage is taken from Deuteronomy, which you can look at as a covenant document, or you can look at it as three talks by Moses after 40 years of leadership on the edge of a new era with the children of Israel going into the promised land. And he's not going to be part of it. And there he is on the edge. And things are about to change. So what does God say when things are about to change? Well, let me give you some background then. The Israelites are on the edge of the promised land after being rescued from slavery and wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. They've been going around the wilderness, having missed the opportunity, the single opportunity they were given by God to enter the promised land before. And that previous generation went and died in the wilderness, but God was faithful to them. And the wilderness years were not wasted years. I want you to hear that. You who think you've missed the boat and that it doesn't, you know, oh, I should have done that years ago, but I didn't. I should have married so-and-so. I should have not married so-and-so, whichever it was. We should have had children then and we didn't. I should have done this. You know, the should-haves and the could-haves are things that will destroy us and make our lives miserable. These were not wasted years. They learned such a lot about themselves, but more importantly, about their God. They learned to follow God when He led them. They learned to rely on God for direction, for water, and for food, the basic things they need. They understood that God's provision could be found when resources are scarce and the outlook is bleak. And when they felt alone and without a home, they learned God is reliable. And you can't learn that when you're in a land of plenty. You take it for granted. And they discovered that material possessions were not the be-all and end-all of life. That walking with God, with the Spirit of God upon them, leading them, was real life. They're on the edge of the land, Moses speaks to them as an experienced leader for over 40 years. Things are about to change for the better, he says, but you have an agreement with God. Don't forget it. And don't forget him. Because you can get all the busyness of going into this land, settling in. You can imagine him saying, well, we need to plant today so we won't do the Sabbath. Oh, there's so many things to do. We've got to build this. We've got to conquer that. There's so many things that we need to do that we can actually not bother with God. He understands. The number of people I talk to that say, God understands my busyness. And therefore, it's okay for me. I'll do it later. And Moses is speaking to the people and saying, later never comes. Put God first. Remember what God has done for you. Their time in the wilderness was not a wasted time. They passed on the lessons they learned to their children. The next time God gives you an opportunity to go into this promised land, he would say, make sure you take it. We don't want you spending another 40 years in the wilderness, being outside of God's blessing. Don't forget it. Don't forget them. Him. The rules of life still apply. Two words that sum up this passage. Remember and keep. They're words that are deeply significant to every Jew. Remember and keep. They're at the heart of everything. Of course, they're in the Ten Commandments, aren't they? The fourth commandment. Remember and keep the Sabbath. He doesn't just say remember the Sabbath. He doesn't just say keep the Sabbath. He asks you to do both. And if you think about it, remember and keep are at the heart of all the commandments. Everything to do with God and their walk with him and to do with life. Remember and keep. Remembering without doing something special becomes an I can't be bothered exercise. Remember Mothering Sunday and keep it. Yeah. Oh, it's Mothering Sunday. I should have sent a card. Never mind. I'll give her a phone call later. And then I forget the phone call. Remember and keep your spouse's birthday. Woe betide you if you forget that one. Remember and keep your children's birthdays, your parents' birthdays, your wedding anniversary. Remember and keep that one. Otherwise, you'll have a miffed spouse somewhere. Remember and keep. Really important. Do something with it. It's pointless remembering not to steal, then going out and stealing when temptation gets the better of you. It's also pointless remembering your promises and vows, then ignoring them in the middle of a fight. Forgetting your calling to live as God intended, but keeping to the rules does not get you closer to God. You just get more judgmental if you just keep to the rules and you forget you are called to be Christ-like. You've met them. I've met them. People who are sticklers for the rules but have no love because the heart of God is not in them. Remember and keep. And in fact, they're at the heart of every Jewish home. Every Friday night, the matriarch of the family would use these two words. Now, I need someone to help me. I need to find out who has been married the longest here. Okay? So, anyone been married more than 40 years? Put your hands up. Right? How about more than 50 years? You've been married more than 50 years. Okay. You've been married more than 50 years. Okay, good. Right. I'm going to take one of you. I'm going to take her, if that's all right. Yeah. Okay. You can be our matriarch. Okay. So I need you to do something for me to show people. Okay. Come on up. Come on up. That's it. Lovely. This is a job only the women of Israel could do. Come on up. All right. Every Sabbath, the mother of the house, that's you, okay, would light two candles. Here they are. Okay. With one match, usually. At the 18 minutes before sunset, she would start the Sabbath. Okay, so can you just go around there so that people can see? All right. And what you've got to do is light both candles, and then you're not allowed to blow the match out. Okay? Because as soon as you light those candles, Sabbath has started, and blowing a candle out is work. All right? For you Jewish scholars, okay? So let's pull this out. So what you've got to do is light both of them, and then just drop the candle, the match there. Okay? And then you're going to do this. Okay? Three times. One, two, three. And then cover your eyes. Have you got that?
I hope so.
Okay. Ready? Oh, sorry. You should be stood. Never mind. That's it. And just drop it there. That's it. And then that's it. Round them. Three times. And then cover your eyes. And then she would say a prayer of blessing. And the Sabbath has started. Thank you. Please be seated. I've got a musical version of this. Okay? And then often she would, after the blessing, blessed are you, King of the universe. Okay? Who gave us the Sabbath? They do it in Hebrew usually. And then they bless all their children. Some Jewish families actually light a candle for each child as well. And they pray a blessing on their children. So I thought you'd see that. Remember and keep, both are needed. Here it is. This is from Fiddler on the Roof.
Protect and defend you. May he always shield you from shame.
May you come to be in Israel a shining name.
May you be like Ruth and like Esther.
May you be deserving of praise.
Strengthen them, O Lord. and keep them from the strangers' ways.
May God bless you and grant you long life.
May the Lord fulfill our Sabbath prayer for you. May God make you good mothers and
may
wives.
May He send you husbands who will care for you. May the Lord protect and defend.
May the Lord protect and defend.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
They name the candles, remember and keep. And that's how they start every Sabbath. Remember and keep. They're both so important. You can remember and not keep, and that's terrible. You can keep and not remember, and there's no heart in it. And the call from God is to remember and keep. So let's look at that remembering. Remember who you are and what you've been through. That's important. If you forget, you'll make the same mistakes over and over again. You'll forget the pain you caused, the heartache that happened to you, and you'll start thinking, it doesn't matter. And in verses 1 to 6, of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, remember God's fatherly training. God disciplined you in the wilderness. God brought you to this point. God got you here. And you learned. But remember who helped you and how you got through. Not on your own, but with His help, He's saying to these people. Now, of course, we don't look at physical rescue from slavery in Egypt as something to remember for us, but a rescue from ourselves and from the eternal consequences of our sins for those of us who are Christians. Through Christ dying on a cross. Remember, because it's important. Remember what you've been given. If you forget, you become ungrateful and miserly people. Remember, all of this is in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. For them back then, they were being given a land fit for their sustenance and prosperity. For us, we can look at the cross and the sacrifice Jesus made to give us the forgiveness and the freedom from guilt. Remember. Remember God's generous provision for us. He did not give you these things to make you proud, but to make you praise and give thanks, to wonder at His gracious generosity. And remember God's standards for the kingdom. Remember, too, that some things can only be learned. Sorry, there it is here. Remember you're precious to Him. I think I did that one. And called you to be His child. And that calling is not because you're special, but because He is loving and keeps His promises even when we don't. It's a call to live differently because of who your God is and what He's done for you. To live in a way that pleases Him rather than pleasing others and yourself. Remember those standards. It's a call to a higher place. And remember too, that some things can only be learned when you're in trouble. Grief is sad until you go through it yourself. Then you understand the devastation. Redundancy is disappointing when someone gets that. Until you go through it, then you understand the fear and the lostness people feel. A child having a life-changing operation is difficult until your own child goes through it. Then you understand the helplessness that a parent feels, the uselessness, the utter dependence you have on others. And if you talk to people who have been divorced, you think, oh, that must be hard. But if you've been through it and you face it yourself, you experience the guilt, the pain, the rejection, the loneliness and the despair from the bottom of your soul. Remember the hard times you've had and the good times you've had. Because that brings the balance out. But forgetting your experiences will just lead you into making similar mistakes. And the other one is keep. Keep. When you keep the law, when you keep his commandments, it's letting that rescue change us. When you say, okay, I will receive God's forgiveness. I will receive the Holy Spirit. You will be changed by it. And it's allowing that change in and not making it an academic exercise. Letting that rescue change us, it will change our attitudes. It will change our values. It will change our behavior. And when you keep God's word, the commands, it's saying, you know what, God, your ways are better than mine. And your will is right. And it's accepting that God is a father to us and wants the best for us and wants the best from us. Keep these things, even if you don't understand them, because in hindsight, you'll look back and say, that was wisdom. And when you keep the commands, it's demonstrating that the kingdom of God is not like the rest of the world. That we follow a different king. That we don't follow peer pressure. We don't follow fashion. We follow what God has spoken to us about. It's not the same in our attitude to life and death. It's not the same in its values it places on surface beauty and gender and skin color or the planet's resources. We are not the same. We have a heavenly perspective because of what God has done for us. Remember and keep. That's your message today. Not just remember, not just keep. The calling of that you have in Christ is to do more than just follow a set of rules or to remember that Jesus died for you. Oh, isn't that nice? Remember your calling. Keep to his word and you will find blessing. That's what this chapter says, doesn't it? It talks about the blessing of God. And then even then it says, and when you're blessed, still remember and still keep. In other words, don't go off the track and say, I've done it. Remember and keep. If you're God's child, he disciplines you. When you forget and when you don't keep, he is disappointed with you and for you. You know you were made for higher than that. That's that conscience that works in you, saying you're a dreadful Christian. Yeah, you are. But God is a great God. And God is an anointing God, and God is a forgiving God, and God is a lifting God. And because of that, you remember and you give thanks. You don't wallow in self-pity. You're raised up because God is God. God will discipline you because he wants the best for you and from you. God's path is easy to see but difficult to stay on. So God wants you to remember him. God wants you to remember who you are. And God wants you to remember the past so you can change your future and not keep making the same mistakes. Of course, now, God gives you the full resources of heaven to be a child of the kingdom in the world he created. Not just through the cross and the resurrection, but through the Pentecost of the Holy Spirit to anoint you and bless you. And so that you call out, Abba, Father, to the King of the universe. Remember and keep. Good words? Will you do them? Well, that's between you and God. Should we pray together?